This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, this morning as we look back on the weekend that was in the National Football League. We know how important it is to get a first-round bye. It is a coveted position when you enter the postseason. That's why you play until the end. That's why you don't rest your starters when there's positioning to be had. If it takes all 16 games, it takes all 16 games. Even if you've secured a playoff berth weeks before, it's that important to host a game in the divisional round with that bye. So, did anybody this weekend who had to play and won scare the teams that didn't have to play? Seattle going on the road to Green Bay. Well, they haven't won there since, I think 99 was the last time they won there. Minnesota is now you've got a team that's confident, believes in itself, chip on their shoulder, just beat the Saints, etc. What about them going to San Francisco and playing the 49ers? Tennessee, they can run the ball down your throat with Derrick Henry, and they're playing really good since Ryan Tannehill took over. Their defense is solid. Mike Vrabel seems to be savvy as a head coach, learning from the Bill Belichick ways. Could they go to Baltimore and slow down Lamar Jackson? Now, what if they took up all the off? What if they took all the time on the clock that they possibly could? What about Houston? What about going to Arrowhead Stadium, a place they've won before back in week 6, and knocking off the Chiefs? Does any of these teams give any sort of fright or scare in your thought process into the postseason in round number 2? You know, it's hard for me to peg that. You know, look, I like teams at home, even if you're not playing all that great at home. I just still think there's a comfort level there in the playoffs that does matter. I think the crowd and the enthusiasm, the goosebumps, all of those little things that happen in a playoff game when you're at home, I think do matter. Doesn't always mean you win, of course, but it does give you a little bit of an edge. But I think the rest is the biggest thing. I like Houston and Tennessee and Minnesota and Seattle. I don't know if the next round, though, how many of them I would actually take to get to the championship game of their conference. Coming up, Brady and his future with the Patriots. What is the best scenario? I'll give you my thoughts next. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue to look back on Wild Card Weekend in the National Football League. And, of course, the Patriots' loss has stirred a lot of conversation as to what the future holds for the Patriots and one Tom Brady. So just to give you the information, Tom is a free agent at the end of this season, which is now. He could go on to play for anybody he wants to. He could obviously give the Patriots another hometown discount and stay with them if they so choose, or he can go his separate ways and go play the remaining years of his career with somebody else. Maybe he's always visioned playing in Los Angeles, and the Chargers might be a stop for him while they continue to try to figure out a way to get at least 5 fans to be Charger fans in Los Angeles to come to the new stadium. Who knows? Whatever it is. But what's the best route? If I was Tom Brady, or if you were Tom Brady, what would you do? Would you want to stay with the franchise that you've been with for 20 years to help them get one more Super Bowl or one more return to greatness? Or do you want to forge your own path somewhere else and maybe do what Joe Montana did in Kansas City? Just play for someone else and see where it goes. If I'm Brady, I think there's only one place that he should go, and that's staying with the New England Patriots. I just don't like this. You're 43 years old. And you're going to go somewhere to do something different. What are you trying to do that's different? What's your goal? Is your goal to get away from Belichick? Okay, then fine. Is your goal to get away from the organization? Okay. Is it to play somewhere that you call home, California? Okay.
But is that, aside from the Patriots, the only other team that would have made sense to me is the Niners. But there's no
open they don't need
spot.
Them. They don't need
that's
them.
The problem.
Right. So what do you do? I mean, because what is again, what's your goal? Is it to win a Super Bowl? Which team is Super Bowl ready and all they need is a 43-year-old quarterback? Right? Which team is built right now to get you that Super Bowl?
You know which team? The Eagles.
The Eagles. Yeah.
They don't need them during the regular season. They just need a quarterback for the postseason.
Just kick around, right? just kick around.
Hold a clipboard all season long. Stay fresh. Postseason comes. Now you can play.
When we've heard Tom Brady talk about playing until he's 45, there's two ways to look at the way he talks about that. One is that he's just competitive and wants to stay competitive for as long as possible, knowing Father Time wins in the end. But if you can delay Father Time's appearance to your door, just do it because you don't get these years back. Or is it that he just wants to win as many Super Bowls as he possibly can? If the answer is the second, then the answer is with the Patriots, and here's why. The Patriots are a team right now that needs some help. Who is better at organizing the roster to better get back to the Super Bowl, the Patriots or anybody else in the National Football League? Who's better at saying, look, I just analyzed 16 games of the 2019 season, and I got this, 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 and this to fix, and I will fix it. Bill Belichick or any of the other 31 coaches in the National Football League? Who? If your goal is to get back to the Super Bowl, the best avenue is with the Patriots. Now, you may go, well, they've got all these problems. But Belichick fixes problems. Look, think about everybody that's gone on, has come and gone through the revolving door of the Patriots for 20 years. He has found a way to get guys to play a particular way in a particular style that makes that team competitive year in and year out. That was an 8-0 football team with a historic defense that faltered down the stretch. You want to bet anything that it will happen again in 2020? Because I'm willing to bet they make all the changes necessary. All right, we'll go out and get you another wide receiver. We'll go get you a tight end. We'll go get you a better offensive line. Everything that is wrong, everything that we see on tape where we said we need to do it better there, better there, better there, and better there, we'll do it. That if the goal for Brady is to get back to the Super Bowl, no better place than Foxborough. If the goal is to get off the franchise, then there's nothing they can do to keep him.
And honestly, the other thing I constantly think about, do we... Or not us. I know we want it, but do they, and especially Tom Brady, does he want to find out the answer to the chicken or the egg conversation?
Very, very good point. Good point.
Because if he goes to he goes down to Jacksonville, right? All eyes are going to be like, oh, Brady's going to bring Jacksonville to the playoffs. And if he misses out, a lot of people will make excuses. But what if we come to find out that, no, Brady worked because of Belichick?
Right. But that's still a tough way to get an answer when you take the sample size of a guy who's now 43 years old, right? Like, it would have been easier if we could have found that answer when he was like 32, right? So that makes it difficult to be like, well, because his skills are eroding. I don't care what anybody says. The skills erode. They just do. And his are eroding. So if he does go to another team, we may not be getting the Brady that's the proper way to analyze how the dynamic between player and coach was working for the two decades that they were winning championships. But it would be close. It at least would be something. Because if he doesn't make the playoffs, you can blame Father Time. And if he does make the playoffs and get him deep, then you may have the answer to your question. Right? We may have the answer to what we've been wondering about since these two got together in the first place. But again, just go back to the idea of if he wants a clean break from the Patriots for whatever reason. And again, who knows what that reason is, right? Who knows what goes on behind the doors of between those two when they settle in? You know, relationships fade over time. You know, this is the thing when people say, well, he's got a lot of respect for Bill Belichick. It doesn't mean he wants to hang out with him anymore. right? Just, you can have respect for somebody and not want a relationship with them, whether it's professional or otherwise, right? He can have a lot of respect for Belichick. Maybe he just is at a point where he doesn't want him to be his head coach anymore.
Yeah, like you and I.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's right, like you and I, right. And the likewise, Belichick has a lot of respect for Brady. It doesn't mean he wants a 43-year-old quarterback coming back.
Right. He might, right? I mean, Belichick might be looking like, you know what, I'm willing to put 10 more years into this. I want to go after somebody good.
Right.
Go after, not, I mean, not somebody good, but I want to change it up a little bit.
Well, he might want somebody younger that allows him to do different things, right? I mean, look, we don't want to get caught up in a new trend in the NFL. But when you look at Patrick Mahomes, when you look at Lamar Jackson, when you look at some of the young players that have made some impacts or looked decent or have done some things over the last few years. Yeah, you kind of want to go get a guy that is young, that's youthful, that allows you a rebirth into your franchise, right? Like, you're not going to get an Andrew Luck in the draft kind of thing, but it is possible Belichick could be looking around going, look, I just don't want to play this out for Tom. Like, I don't want to sacrifice a year watching this guy succumb to age and just the wear and tear of an NFL season, right? Maybe that's the case. But if it isn't the case, and Robert Kraft says, look, I want this guy a Patriot as long as he wants to be one or until the sport says otherwise, and Belichick goes, okay, great, well, we'll keep him. Then I think Brady should stay. I think Brady should stay and work with a coach that has time and time again found a way to get him a weapon, found a way to get him the right guy at the right time, right? Found a way to get him a Randy Moss back in his career or a Rob Gronkowski in his career or a Julian Edelman in his career. Find a way to get somebody that can play, or maybe a guy that runs the ball like Derrick Henry in Tennessee does, right? That just can eat up yardage and eat up time and put less burden on you. All of those things, right? Like if you're doing it from the standpoint of, I want one more Lombardi trophy, I want one more championship, then stay where you're at, because everybody else in the league that is Super Bowl ready already has a quarterback, and the teams that are looking for a quarterback are going to need the kind of thing you would trust Bill Belichick to do in the first place. Right? If you go to a place that needs a quarterback and you're going to try to win there, then you're going to need to trust that head coach will get you all the weapons that you're going to need, like you would have had in New England had you stayed in New England. You think Belichick's going to sit around and go, well, this is my roster, this is who I got? No, he's analyzing right now. That guy, that guy, that guy, no longer need them. That guy stays. We're promoting that guy. We're going to move this guy, and I want these three needs satisfied either in the draft or free agency. He's already doing that. Like everybody else is doing that, don't get me wrong. But he's doing that in a way that's better than everybody else doing it. And I think from that standpoint, I trust completely that he will have the Patriots in a position to have the players necessary that if Brady plays well and keeps and plays well enough, to even at his age, that they'll have a chance of getting back into it. See, this is the problem. And this is where I struggle, Ron. And I'll get to this coming up, because I'll elaborate a little more. The shoveling of dirt on the grave of the New England Patriots seems just a touch premature until we actually know where this plays out. And I'll elaborate more when we come back, but we'll also get into something really fun, and that is next year's HBO Hard Knocks and the teams that are up for it. As we continue along, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices. every day. All right, before we get to what could be on your HBO dial this summer, listen, this final thought on the Patriots, at least for this segment here. There's the burying of the Pats dynasty and everything is easy. Ron, you said it best. It's just easy to do right now. They lost a wild card round game at home.
It's low-hanging fruit.
It's easy to do.
And listen, we've been burying them since about, what, week 8?
Oh, sure. I mean, they went 8-0, and they finished 4-4, I mean, to close out the season.
Yeah.
And they lost to the Dolphins. But look, and listen, you are what you are. They were not a 13-3 team. All right, they were a 12-4 team, and that loss to Miami matters. Okay, it's not something I'm going to dismiss here. Even though I may sound like it, I'm not dismissing it. But they were one win away from getting a first round bye and getting the number 2 seed in the playoffs here. I mean, this wasn't a team that struggled to get into the playoffs. This wasn't a team that barely won their division. This was a team that was in pretty much control throughout the whole season. They struggled in games, and they did finish 12-4, and the Chiefs did win that 2 seed outright. But they lost a wild card team to a team that ran the ball down their throats and was a really hot football team coming in. Listen, if Ryan Tannehill had played this way from the beginning of the season, the Titans wouldn't have been a 6 seed. And they are the hottest 6 seed coming in. This is the equivalent in the NCAA tournament when, like, Kentucky was an 8 seed. And you're like, really? An 8 seed? And they were playing pretty hot going into the tournament. But because they struggled in the beginning of the year, because they had a record that warranted such a placement, they got an 8 seed and they were throttling Michigan and Louisville and everybody else on their en route to the championship. I know, listen, I'm not trying to dismiss the season in any way, but to just start going, yeah, it's over, it's over, it's over. Yeah, you might be right. It might be over, but it's not absolute yet with where this team is. And they have lost in the playoffs before. All right. They lost to the Jets a number of years ago, right? They lost to the Ravens a few years ago, right? They don't go to the Super Bowl every year, even if it feels like they do, right? There's always been a year where the Patriots have fell short of expectations, not this early, but have fallen short of expectations. So I'm with you. I've got the shovel in hand, but I'm not frantically throwing dirt all over the Patriot grave just yet. Just yet. Let's see where this plays out with the Brady situation. Let's see exactly how they answer some questions in this offseason. And then let's go. Because it wasn't a year where everything fell apart. This game shined a bright light on problems. But if you're Belichick, that's the kind of game you want if you're going into the offseason. A big spotlight on all your deficiencies. So there you go. All right, so now, what is going to be on our HBO dial this fall? I mean, this summer, when we get to training camp. We down to what are the top five teams for Hard Knocks?
Well, I mean, there's 5 teams that are eligible.
Okay, so that's it? There's no more than that?
Well, it's because there's certain criteria that always, that make teams exempt. If you have a first-year head coach, your team is exempt. If they have had a playoff berth in the past 2 seasons, that team is exempt.
So if you miss the playoffs in back-to-back years,
you're an experienced coach,
you're eligible.
And if you haven't appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 10 years.
Geez, I can think of one team right off the top of my head that's right in that category.
Well, here are your top 5 or here are your 5 choices.
All right.
Steelers.
Yes, that's the first team I thought of.
Lions.
Of course.
Jaguars.
Okay.
Cardinals.
Okay.
Broncos.
Ooh. Couple of them right now. All right. The Steelers would be good, but I think boring.
I think you're right.
I think boring.
They should have had them 2 years ago.
Right, 2 years. The Lions.
I feel the same as the Steelers.
Right. I'm not exactly interested. Is that the right word?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. What is exciting or sexy about the Lions?
Right. I mean, help me out with that, Robert. I just don't know. I just don't know what makes me go, yeah, I want to see that. The Jaguars, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, absolutely. With Gardner Minshew. And, the whole Well,
the whole London thing.
The whole London thing.
Want to go that route? I mean,
yeah, the whole London thing.
I would love for
Shad Khan seems like a cool owner.
Yeah, but I would love for them to focus on, you know, just real quickly, like, hey, are you moving to London? Do you have plans to move to London? You seem to want to move to London.
It seems possible that the Jaguars could be moving overseas. London seems to be a perfect destination for them. They play one game a year overseas in London, and so far the conversation has been relocation, as they continue to tarp out half the stadium every single Sunday for home games. Yeah, the basic Lee Shriver introduction into the topic of relocating to London.
But outside of,
Arizona?
But outside of Gardner Minshew, what else is exciting about the Jaguars? Because they got rid of a lot of their defensive players.
Got rid of Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, that would have been fun to see.
No Brinks truck coming to practice this year.
No, just Gardner Minshew. I'm hoping he shows up to practice with a handlebar mustache riding on a horse.
So here's what you do if you're HBO and you take the Jags. You sit Gardner Minshew down and you go, hey, look. Anything you can do that's even more fun and outrageous with your wardrobe, the better for us.
And are we already largely ignoring Nick Foles, by the way?
Yeah, we are, totally.
So he's already off the team, right?
Yeah, that would actually be a good conversation, too. Nick Foles continues to cash checks he does not earn. Being the starting quarterback for the Jaguars, he signed an $84 million contract. And yet, Gardner Minshew continues to run this team. Who else was on the list? Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd take Arizona.
I like that one.
I like that one a lot. Kyler Murray, another year with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
I could take that one. I like that one. Fitzgerald, you know, sure.
Would he come back again?
Yeah. I got that one. I could dig that one.
Or.
Now, who's the last one? Broncos?
Broncos.
Okay, look. I don't know if you saw this video that was flying around social media, but apparently in the last game of the year, Drew Locke was caught on the sidelines rapping to a song that they were playing over the loudspeaker. Yep. He seems to have a really cool personality that people like. He seems to be a guy that is young, quarterback of the Broncos, and like it just loves this life that he's living. Maybe he's a story that you could chronicle on Hard Knocks. Von Miller, John Elway, the problems with the organization. There's a couple of things. They've got an ownership issue in which one of Pat Bowlen's daughters is supposed to be taking over the team, but there's a little infight within the family. I don't know if that's interesting, but at least it's an angle. So I would do that. I could do the Broncos. Of the top five, I would go Arizona, Jaguars, Broncos, Steelers, Lions. I just, the Lions just, if you told me Hard Knocks has the Lions, I'd be like, okay, I don't know. Steelers, naturally, I'm interested. I just think they're boring. I think Mike Tomlin runs a boring ship.
I don't think there'd be anything exciting about that at
look,
all.
Even when Antonio Brown was there and he would show up in a car and a helicopter and stuff like that, it wasn't like, oh, must see, like, oh my God, I wish they had cameras on all this. And now the guys that would have made some news are gone. I mean, look, you could take Doug Hodges out and film him doing his duck hunting thing, or you could take you could talk about James Conner's story of recovering from cancer and whatnot and all that. That's kind of interesting and cool, but I think they're a pretty boring football team. But I don't think the Jags are, and I absolutely think Arizona would be probably the top of my list, really.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Is it on top of my list? Did I say that? Did I say Arizona? I think it is, yeah. I think Cliff Kingsbury's interesting. I think he's really interesting. Remember how he got the job? He got fired from Texas Tech, and then he got a better gig. He got fired from a school he played for as a head coach, and then he was like, okay, well, I guess I got to figure out where I'm going to be. Oh, Arizona's calling. Oh, I'll take that job. I'll be one of 32 people in the world to be an NFL head coach. That's good. I'll be good. What's your top five real quick?
I'm actually really in love with those top five.
Yeah.
I mean, not actually the top three, Jaguars, Cardinals, Broncos.
I think the Broncos are really interesting.
I mean, especially are the only teams that are eligible. Everyone else is exempt from this.
Especially the Elway angle. That can be
Broncos,
really explored. Really nice.
It'll be interesting.
SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb on the Monday edition when we recap all the NFL games. Could be good. It is good. It is the good of the day. What's the good of the day?
Oh, the good of the day. I have to ask you a quick question, though.
Yes.
Did you happen to watch the Golden Globes at all?
I watched a little bit of it. It's not really my thing. The Academy Awards tend to be more of my thing.
Yeah. I saw a perfect tweet that this was the Oscars NIT.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I know they do Best Picture and stuff, but I don't know what makes it different. Like, I don't know what this is compared to the Academy Awards.
I mean, the great thing about watching this one is that all the celebrities are a lot looser because they're drinking during the entire show.
Oh, yeah, because they're all sitting at tables, right?
So, I mean, that's the bonus part. But my good of the day is Salma Hayek.
Oh, really?
I do not know. Just Google her real quick. Selma Hayek, Golden Globes. Trust me, I'm doing you a favor.
Oh, my God. That comes up immediately on the Google search.
I'm saying she won the Golden Globes because of hers.
Gotcha. Yeah, all right. I am now on that. Hold on. Yes! Well done. Golly, she looks great.
Yeah, normally I don't like to go this route, but...
Yeah.
I could not help, but when she was on stage presenting last night, if you were talking to me, forgive me. This literally might be going out to my wife because she might have been talking to me during that time, and
right,
and I might have been doing one of those.
Is she married to a billionaire?
I don't know.
I think she is. I think she's married to a billionaire.
I'm gonna say no.
You're gonna say no?
After seeing that photo, I like to still think I might have a shot.
Oh, yeah. Of course, right? But, yeah, I think she's married to a... She's 53. She looks great.
Oh, no, stop it. Is she really?
What was I supposed to do? Say she's 27?
Yes.
Selma Hayek's been famous forever. How old did you think she was?
Oh, maybe 40s.
Well, okay. I mean, that's not far off.
Yeah, but I wasn't thinking she was... I knew she wasn't in her 20s.
Although, you know, you did... You
her
just
body
did something.
Might say something different.
You just did something that I just told. My son's friends. I told them they do this all the time. When you're young, right? When you're young, and let's say you're 18, right? And somebody goes, "Hey, do you have your driver's license yet?" And you're like, "I'm 18." And then you're like, "I can't believe she thought I was 16." I'm like, "Well, it's not that far off. It's 2 years. Like, chill out for a second. My God." Like, really? Like kids can't believe that you... I was like, do you know how hard it is? It's so hard to guess an age. They make it a trick at the circus and the fair, okay? That's how hard it is to do, all right? So relax for a second. But it's the same way as adults. We do this a lot where you go, hey, she's 53. I'm like, what? And like, I thought she was like 48. All right, well, it's not that far off. Yeah, she's 53. She looks awesome.
She looks amazing.
She looks amazing. She looks really amazing.
And if you're wondering what she looks like when you get to a red light, you know, or you get to your work.
No, wait till you get to work. You'll get to work on time.
Or wait till you get home later
that's
tonight.
Process. Golly. God, she looks great. I can't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is she doing these days?
I have no idea.
Why is she there?
Well,
is she up for an award, or is she just a celebrity?
She presented.
Okay. Please present every single award show from now on.
Exactly. You know, maybe just host.
Show up to the ESPYs, for crying out loud. Like, I have nothing
to
do with it.
Yeah.
Just show up. Yeah, very good, good. Very good, good. Always liked her.
Move on to the bad of the day. The bad of the day, we've touched on it already, and I'm going to just put it out as the bad of the day. It was the bad of the day starting from the weekend. And I'm just saying the Patriots offseason.
Patriots offseason.
Because now that they've exited the playoffs early, we're going to be talking about the Patriots' future, and it'll probably take away from the rest of the playoffs.
It's true. That's a good point.
Every NFL show, you know, pregame show, there's always going to be a, you know, what are the Patriots up to now segment.
I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of analysis I think there's going to be a lot of clues. People are going to be looking for clues. They're going to find Robert Kraft somewhere and ask him about it. They'll find all the Patriots, whether it's a Rob Gronkowski or guys currently on the team, or they'll try to pick at that, and they'll try to get analysis from anybody that's ever had even a cup of coffee with these two at some point in the last 20 years to break it down. And you're right. I think it's going to come, you know, former Patriot says the two are destined to break up. And then you read it and you find out it's some like backup offensive guard from 2004.
Right.
That had like two seasons with the teams. Like,
who
has
the inside scoop.
Right. And I think you're right. I think we're going to fall down quickly down into anybody that has anything to say about these two is going to get a lot of press.
And it's going to take away. I have this sneaky feeling that we're going to be all consumed about that, and we're going to look back at this, look back at the start of 2020 and go, you know, 5 years from now, go, oh, man, who won the Super Bowl again? Or who played?
Yeah,
probably won't forget who won the Super Bowl, but we'll sit there, who played in the Super Bowl?
We know
the Patriots weren't.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Now, the last year that a team that the Patriots. The last year the Patriots were not in the AFC Championship game was January of 2011, all right, when the Steelers played the Jets to go to the Super Bowl where they lost to the Green Bay Packers in Super Bowl 45. But you know what I found interesting? Because I was looking that up because I was like, I wanted to make sure. But also, the last time the AFC Championship game did not have a team from the AFC East was in January of 2008.
Crazy.
The Jets had gone to back-to-back AFC title games with Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan. So you got a little, yeah. So don't muddle this sort of, we always say, right? We don't want the same teams. We don't want the same teams. Well, you're not going to get the same teams. In the AFC, you're not going to get the same team. All right, you're going to get a Ravens team that's got a new young quarterback, or maybe Patrick Mahomes will go to the Super Bowl, or the Texans could be the Super Bowl for the first time, or Tennessee could go to the Super Bowl for the second time in franchise history and the first in a long time. But don't muddle it by talking about a team you've been talking about every single January and February forever and ever and ever. Good point, Ron. Good point. That is a bad.
Yep.
All right, so the dumb of the day today then is?
11 o'clock Eastern.
Which will be?
Tua Tagovailoa holding the decision press conference today.
I know.
Just to announce whether or not he's going to the NFL. Honestly, is he going to be sitting at a table with an Alabama hat to his right and an NFL hat to his left? And then Nick Saban sitting on either side of him, and he's going to say, you know, I made my decision to pick up a hat and put it on.
See, that's a great – that's the big awfulness that goes on in these things. Your thoughts on where he's going to go today. What do you think is going to happen today? Do you think he's announcing to go pro or staying at Alabama?
I'm on the fence. I can look at it logically both ways for him at this point. I can understand why he would want to return back to college just because it didn't end the way he wanted it to end. And there's still like some unproven stuff. But money in the NFL, he's going to be a top 10 pick. He's probably, you know, going to be looked at as the second best quarterback. Third best quarterback in coming into this draft.
I agree.
And I mean, the money in the NFL is, you know, just be screaming at him.
When we had, remember when the O.J. Simpson trial ended and the jury had like, they came back within like 5 hours or something?
Yeah.
Remember that? And then Judge Ito said, we're going to wait till tomorrow to do the verdict, so we'll sit on it. I remember I was working at a radio station in New Hampshire at the time, and I think we had Arlen Specter, former Pennsylvania senator, who came in. He was, you know, because New Hampshire is a big political state, and he was in town for some politics, and he was going on one of our news night shows. And he was sitting in the break room and in the break area, and I was in there talking, and the host asked him off the air, what do you think? And he says, well, if a jury comes back that quick, it's usually an acquittal. Right. That was the consensus that the evidence showed that this was. Same theory applies here with Tua. If you hold a press conference like this and you announce it days in advance and your coach is going to be there, consensus is you're staying. The optics are you're staying because you have a tendency to just say you're going pro and then you'll answer questions later. But that doesn't mean it's the case. I mean, just like the jury could have came back 4 hours later and said guilty. But the optics presented itself as normally this is how it goes. In this case, when you have a university having a press conference, most of the time it's to announce that a kid is staying.
Yeah.
That he's staying. That doesn't mean it's always the case. We've seen press conferences where it's gone the other way. But for the most part, when you get the university involved, they're setting up the press conference, the coach is going to be there, that usually means you've decided that you are going to go and you are going to stay with the school. There's benefits to him staying. He recovers from the hip surgery, plays another year, maybe becomes the number one overall pick. Maybe. Doubt it, because that would be Trevor Lawrence's time,
too. Has a better Heisman campaign.
Right, has a better Heisman campaign. Maybe doesn't want to leave college football just yet. Could be. Who knows? But I agree with you. If you're at a point right now, you're recovering from hip surgery, and if you are still with hip surgery going to be a top 10 pick, take that lottery ticket and cash it.
Right.
Because with the hip injury going into college, you don't know what's going to happen the second time around.
And my biggest gripe with this is having the decision, and I'm using air quotes, the decision style press conference.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Just come out and just say it.
Just say it. I don't like it either.
You know,
I agree.
Is he doing this for charity?
I thought it was interesting what you said about the hats, because that's getting so ridiculous. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's why I want a picture. I want an Alabama hat and an NFL hat.
See, it would be funny if he picks up the Alabama hat and he puts it on his head and everybody cheers. And then he takes it off his head and he throws it against the wall and then picks up the NFL draft hat.
Because I'm gone.
And I'm gone. Because that's what kids do now. Like, instead of just picking up the Oregon hat and putting it on your head, they're picking up the other team's hat to fool you and then chucking it and then picking up the other hat. Like, now it's become like a game show. Which is, I just think, is ridiculous. It's way too overblown. But now, yeah, you're right. We're now at a point now where Tua's got to make this big decision, and just like it was recruiting day,
right,
as to where he was going to land.
Like, I mean,
say what you're going to do.
Just come on. I mean, Chase Young came out over the weekend.
Have a press conference afterwards.
Chase Young came out over the week and goes, I'm going in the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom, we're done. All right.
Yeah. And Xavier McKinney and Jerry Jeudy of Alabama already just declared, and that's it. They're not having big. Look, you can declare, you can make your announcement and then have the press conference, right? You can say you're coming back and then saying, all right, he's coming back and he'll be available Tuesday. Alabama media, come and say hi, have some pizza and ask him questions. And if he's going to go pro, you don't need a press conference. Have it later with your agent somewhere. You don't need the school to put it together. You don't need the university to put it together. Do it on your own. So yeah, I think he's going, but I wouldn't be all that shocked if he decided to give it one more good old college try. But I think you're right. It is kind of silly. Just announce it.
Yep.
Just announce it and get it over.
Now
with.
I do have a bonus dumb.
Okay.
But
you want to do that when we come back?
Yeah, just because right. I'll tease it for you. For okay. You specifically, Tony.
Right.
This has something to do with a member of your favorite band.
Wonderful. Can't wait. That's coming up next is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so you teased another dumb for Good, the Bad, and the Dumb.
I did, and I said it's a member of one of your favorite bands.
Okay, go ahead. Kiss, yeah.
Playing right here.
Right here.
I think it's dumb. I'm not sure where you stand on this fence, but Gene Simmons puts ice cubes in his cereal.
What? Why does he do that?
I don't know.
Doesn't that make it more the cereal more soggy
it down,
and
right?
Water it down?
Wouldn't it water down? I mean,
why do you need his cereal ice cold?
You add milk. Milk is the only thing you really ever add to cereal.
Yeah, that's right.
College.
Don't add water. Yeah. Don't throw water into that mix.
Yeah, but he adds ice cubes to his milk because he wants his cereal to be ice cold, I guess.
Then put the milk in the cold portion of the fridge or freeze it, put it in the freezer and let it come out a little bit. Have some of those milk ice chips.
How much colder do you need it?
You don't need it cold. You don't need it ice cold. You don't need your cereal ice cold. What's that about?
Or how long does it take you to eat your cereal? Because for me, by the time I'm done, my milk still isn't warm.
Is he worried that he's so busy with stuff having to do with Kiss that he comes back to his cereal and the milk is warm and he's like, I can't eat this.
It's all the plastic surgery. He can't move his mouth as much
out
anymore.
Of my Kiss cereal bowl that we organized and made a deal with to get it out there. I love Gene Simmons. I think he's the greatest businessman in the history of rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but that's ridiculous. Don't put ice in your cereal. It's silly. That's ridiculous. But he is, you know, he is the demon. So let him do what he wants, I guess.
I mean, we can't really get too angry at him, right?
Nah, I mean, you know. His TV show, remember when he had the reality show?
Oh,
that was so good.
It was fun.
So fun. Especially his kids.
His kids. I mean, the son.
They were hysterical.
I felt bad for the son felt like he just did not want to be a part of
anything. No, not
ever.
At all. Not at all. Right? Like, the daughter got a little bit of a run out of it. I think she's got a career.
He just was like, yes, this is my family. But why are we showing you guys are embarrassing me in front
exactly.
of the whole world?
I just think it's so funny when your kids think like you dressing up is so silly.
Yep.
And I just think it's the best part of the show is when he's in the makeup and he's in the outfits going to concerts. And the kids are like, Dad, this is so dumb. Oh, they had children.